What I have on my heart this week is the hope that's within you. I want to talk to our children mostly, our young people. We've got some here that's saved, and I got to thinking about the Doreme, and you know, there's so many get saved down there, and the kids go down there, and they just have a big time, and they just seem like they open up, and they're able to testify, and that's where it's at. Is our children being a witness to their friends. And somehow or another, I guess I failed, and maybe we failed, I don't know, but we hardly ever hear our young people anymore. When we used to, when I first came here, y'all would have the youth revival, and the young people was just right in there. They was testifying. They were, you know, you give an altar call, and they was going and talking to. We used to see results. People got saved. I'm telling you, that's where it's at. Somehow or another, we've got to encourage them again for the hope that they have within them. That they'd be willing to tell their friends about what Jesus has done for them. And be an encouragement to them to be able to do that. The Apostle Paul often told his testimony, and y'all know my testimony as well as I do. But you know, I don't know a lot of y'all's as well as I'd like to. And I think each and every one of us need to be willing to give the account that's and be a witness to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, and we're going to read in the 22nd chapter, he'd been arrested and he'd been brought up to the castle, and the centurion, and he'd asked him that he'd be able to speak, and he said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" And he'd give him a license to speak. I want you to know, if you've been saved by God's grace, we license our preachers before we send them out to go preach the gospel. And so listen to me. If you've been saved by God's grace, you have a witness within you, and you have a license to be able to speak. There's something there that he's done for you that he can only give you, and you can be able to tell. But I thought about all the things the Apostle Paul had been delivered up here. And there's a good chance, you know, they wanted to take his life, these Jews did. And all the things he could have said, and he knew the scriptures inside and out. But you know what he told them? He told them about what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He told them about what he experienced and what God had done for him. And I want you to know, I can get up here and you can understand every bit of the scriptures. You can understand it from the front, from the back. But if you don't have that in you, if you don't have that experience, you ain't got nothing. I want you to realize it won't do nobody no good. But if you've got that, listen to me, child, today. If you're 10-year-old, you're 11-year-old, you're 13-year-old, if you're 50-year-old or you're 80-year-old, if you've got that, you can help somebody. You can tell them about something God's done for you, and you can change somebody's life by being a witness to them. And that's what we need. We need, each and every one of us need to be a witness. In the 22nd chapter, he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law. The fathers was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." And he said, in other words, "I was taught just like you, and I was just as zealous as you are today and as the fathers was. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doeth bear me witness that all the state of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and I was nigh to Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And I want to stop right there just for a minute. It said he was on the road there at Damascus. How we often talk about a time and a place. And he said it was about noon. And I think it's important that it was about noon. I think it's good that Paul, there's some of you I've heard say that you looked and saw what time it was that you got saved. Some know about what hour it was. Some know on what day of the week it was. But listen to me. I think why he said it was about noon there. It wasn't about the time that it was, that it was about noon. It was more about how he wanted them to understand that there was a light right out there now. It's about noon. The sunlight is shining brighter right now than it will all day. But he wanted them to know it was about noon, that they know how bright it was. But listen, he wanted them to understand that there's a light that outshines the sun. And I want you to understand today, if you got, when we talk about this little light is mine and I'm going to let it shine. Listen, the Apostle Paul wanted them to understand there's a light within him that come down from heaven and it dwells in each and every one of us. And if you have that light, it is the brightest thing that you will ever have. And there, you have a testimony, a witness. You're coming about with such a great cloud of witness. There's something about you that's different than anybody else that's never been saved. There's something that shines about you. There's a light about you that your little friends, your buddies need to see, that you need to be willing to step out on faith and tell them about all the things the Apostle Paul, he could start it in Genesis and quoted it all the way. I have no doubt and preached a sermon for the last for days, but he didn't. He just told them about what Jesus had done for him while he was on the road, how there was a light that outshined the sun. And I want you to know that's the brightest thing about me today. I want you to know we can preach the best sermons ever was. I want you to understand we do the best we can. If I never have been able to preach it, even if I could, without Jesus, without having a testimony, without having a line, it would profit me absolutely nothing. And also the hearers. But the smallest child here today, the smallest one here that's been saved by God's grace, can stand up and thank the Lord for saving their soul and tell them about how they was in the toilet and they called upon the name of the Lord, how they was laying on their couch and they called upon the name of the Lord, how they was just simply got up and began to walk forward to go up and receive Christ. And when you can't do that, but thankfully Christ received you on your way up there, listen to me, you can get up and tell about what Jesus has done for you, and your friends will hear that, and it'll be a witness unto them, and it can change things. I believe that. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I know if we can get our children back involved to be willing to step out on faith and thank the Lord for what they've done for him, we'll see things again. He said, I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You can read Luke's account over in the 9th chapter. A lot of times that's where we read it from, over in Acts. Or you can read it from the 2 times Paul gives it. His account never does change. It's always the same. Mine's never changed. Sometimes I'll leave a little bit out of it. Maybe I won't talk. Maybe sometimes I may not even mention Sister Betty Sue Metter, how she made eye contact with me. But listen to me. The same thing happened to me. I was at Rocky Mount Church on a Wednesday night in July when I got up one night to leave and trouble got a hold of me and I was trying to get out the doors and I fell down. I want you to know Paul was brought down and I want you to know I was brought down. You say, well, I was standing up and I got saved. Inside your heart was brought down. That's what's got to be humbled. That's what gets changed about us. It's not the position of your body. Some people can't get down their knees. I've heard them say, well, get on the altar. Some people can't get on the altar. I've heard them talk about Zacchaeus when they got saved if he hadn't climbed a sycamore tree. Some people can't climb a tree. It ain't got no, makes no difference where you're at and the position you're in. It got to do with your heart being broke and calling upon the name of the Lord. Listen to me. When you get in that shape, you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll get saved. And when you do, you need to tell the world about it. And he answered, art thou the Lord? Who art thou, the Lord? And he said unto him, I am Jesus, and after whom thou persecutest. And they were when me saw indeed delight. And were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And he said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into Damascus. I believe that's when he got saved. When he said, arise, I want you to know, if you'll humble yourself, he will lift you up. I want you to know, if you'll be brought down and recognized, he said, who art thou, Lord? Listen to me. You may not understand all about it, but you'll know he's Lord. If he brings you down. We was in a tent revival years ago. My brother had been saved. I'd never heard him testify since he got saved. And we was up yonder. We had to move, go up to the fellowship hall. And my brother Marty was up there doing the altar service. And Steve was there that night. And I'm so thankful he was. And brother Marty called on him to dismiss. And I was so afraid. I'd never heard my brother speak in any kind of meeting. And it got silent there for a few minutes. I didn't know if he'd ever say anything. And all of a sudden he said, Lord. He started off with Lord. And he began to thank him for saving his soul. Amen. Listen to me. That was the best thing. That's the only thing I can remember since. I think it was 3 souls who got saved. I don't remember a sermon being preached, one word that was said during that from a preacher, but I remember my brother starting that prayer off with Lord and thanking him for saving his soul. Listen to me, there's something within you outshines everything else, and you need to tell the world about it. You need to tell your friends about it. You need to be a witness. Listen to me. These people were here to kill him. He wasn't testifying, trying to get out of nothing. He was trying to get them into something. He was trying to tell them about the one that saved his soul. And because he was just like they was. And what he was saying was, if he can save me, he can save anybody. I'm no different than you. I was just like you, he was saying. That's how he started it off. I was brought up the same way you was. I persecuted this way. But then he told him about what Jesus done for him. I brought him down and there was a great light. I want you to know he is the light of the world. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, amen. Have you ever been in a service to where it just almost blinded you? Where the Spirit of God just come in such a way that you just don't know what's going on. And for just a little while that you go out of it and you don't remember. I heard one of my sister Polly tell me the other day about she got, they told her, her brother-in-law, was it your brother-in-law that passed away? Somebody told you, your brother-in-law that passed away, how she got tore up down at church one time and walked to the back of the pew. She said, I can't remember it. I want you to know when he comes in such a way that you won't have to worry about what you got to say. Amen. It'll roll out. What you just got to be willing to get up and say it. He'll give you the words. This ain't going nothing like I thought it was going to do today. I was going to read this. I was going, it don't matter. What matters is that he receives honor and glory. If you'll be willing, he'll help you. He'll give you the words that needs to be said, that your friends need to be here. Listen, they need to be saved. And you have the key. You have it. You'll say, well, Brother Jeff, you're the preacher, you're the pastor. Listen to me. I'll preach the word. I'll do all I can. But listen, you have a job to do. Been led by the hand of them that were with me. I came into Damascus. I'm so thankful that there was people that come along after I was saved and took me by the hand and taught me the way I needed to go. I didn't always listen. But I've always had somebody reaching out to me. Trying to take me by the hand. Trying to help me along the road. These children need our help. Amen. I ain't saying drag them to an altar. I ain't telling you that. What all I am saying is try to guide them along the way to where they need to get to. And then Ananias, a devout man according to the law, was another and raised just like Paul was. Having a good report of all Jews which dwelt there. Came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one. If you to be apostle, you had to see Christ, and he did. And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, you had to be taught by him, and he was. For shout. Thou shalt be a witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. He told them, he said, why I'm telling you this is what I was supposed to tell you. You need to be a witness unto all men. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be you ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I've got an old Bible at home. I'll probably sometime at Rocky Mount this week, I'm probably going to have to preach on you can't judge a book by its cover. my old Bible's wore out. I went down Union Hill a couple, 3 years ago, and I always try to take that Bible somewhere with me when I'm in a revival because it's so dear to me. The first revival I helped in was New Design Missionary Baptist Church, and we're going to head down there in 2 or 3 weeks from now. And I got there, and that Bible, the outside of it was just as gold around the edges and shiny as if you had a gold, shiny new gold dime or whatever, $10 piece. And there was a preacher there. He come up, and he said, "You can tell a young preacher's Bible because how it ain't worn." And I was so ashamed. But I went in yonder and I may have told my testimony 20 times that week. I don't know. I know I told it more than once. And I done the best I could. But you can't judge a book by its cover. I got down to Union Hill a few years ago, and I walked in with that same Bible, and y'all say it's falling apart. And afterwards, some of them come to me, and they said, "Well, we was talking when we seen you come in, and Hilltop needs to give you enough money, you buy your Bible." They said, "We've changed our mind. That Bible's just fine." You can't judge a book by its cover. I didn't feel like I'd done a bit better at Union Hill that week than I did at New Design. All I could tell them about was the one that saved my soul and what he'd done for me. He's changed my life completely. Listen to me, children. You've got something within you that's brighter than anything else in the world. It's brighter than the noon sun. And you know what that is? It's Jesus. When he saves your soul, he makes a bold in your heart. That little light that we talk about, it's more than just a candle. It changes everything. Amen. Amen. And if you'll let that out, your little friends will see that. They'll see there's something different about you. And you know what? They'll begin to believe. Tell it. I ain't trying to talk you into doing something but listen, he said, if a man asked you, what? Let's go over and read that again. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that's in within you. You ever been to one of those meetings where somebody, the preacher gets up and says, "Sister Teresa, testify." And you're just like, "Oh boy, what's he doing?" We got one of them one time. Brother Brad didn't ask them, but it was up at Lafayette during the spring revival. He didn't call out on somebody, but he told them, "We need to testify." And boy, they begin to. And we had a good service. There's nothing wrong with getting up and telling people about what God's done for you. I was going to read this and I was going to read that, and I do want to read this. And I'll try to be done. The Apostle Paul, we read this in weddings, and we'll have a wedding here in a couple, 3 months, and probably we'll read it. It says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," or which is love. And if you want to really get that down, if you'll take, we always change that charity to love. Change it to God. when you read that, every time still saying charity or even love, just say God and see how it sounds to you. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not God, I become a sounding brass and a twinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and stand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not God, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not God, it profit me nothing. You go on, you just keep reading it. Without him, we can't do anything. And you say, well, all I've got, Brother Jeff, is just a slate rock down there in the holler. I know it's on a Saturday because I run in the house to tell Mama God just slayed my soul. It ain't y'all's on. Ain't that good to have that? My wife, our little brother Sanders, she went to the altar and he said, you're not believing. He knew she was getting close because she raised up and said, yes, I am. And it wasn't long, she got saved. I'm thankful for that argument she had with the preacher. I ain't been thankful for the one since. But I'm thankful for that one. I've heard y'all's testimony a few times, and I'll never get tired of hearing them. Some of you children, I can't wait to start hearing you testify. God, I can't wait to see the results of what's going to happen from it. For nothing else, this whole preacher will get blessed. I went to hang out with my friends at church, and I got saved. Saul went and watched a young man called Stephen get stoned. If you'll go on and read where we read to you a while ago, and I'll try to hush. He was standing, Brother Lyron mentioned this here a couple weeks ago. If you ain't been coming to Sunday school, you're missing some stuff. Listen, he mentioned this, I never thought of it. He was standing in the same position that Stephen stood in. He was in the same place and in front of the same people. And I want you to know how you'll reap what you sow. But here he was standing there, and he gets over there after he tells him his testimony, and he goes on and he said, and he said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue. Believed on thee, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept his raiment out of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, and I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Listen, he was right there. He heard what Stephen had to say. I still don't believe Stephen was a preacher. I believe he was a good deacon, and he knew the word of God. And he stood there, and he was a witness unto one named Saul. And when he was on the road to Damascus, that began to work on him. And he was brought down by the Holy Spirit of God. And a light shined about him was brighter than the noonday sun. Over in a Revelation letter, it says there won't be no need of the sun there, because he'll outshine anything that there is. He was that dying man. Was a witness under the man called Paul, who was Saul and was called Paul, and it went on and wrote 14 books around about there, the New Testament. I've heard different ones say. I heard a little old lady, she came around and shook my hand one time, and she said, "Brother Jeff, if you don't quit preaching that way, you're going to die." And I said, "Amen." It was nothing. Suit me no more. I don't want y'all to have to experience a mess like that. But if I die preaching the word of God,
amen,
y'all can say I died a happy man.
Amen. Amen.
Stephen died being under the witness to the one that died for him. Let them know what he's done for you. Have you been saved by God's grace? Have you got a witness? Then let it be known. Let your friends know. Don't be ashamed. The Bible says, with a heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and a mouth confession is made. I'll mess it up quoting it. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let it be known. Let it be known what the Lord's done for you. You may have never told it before today. Today would be a good day to tell it. But be a witness for the one that died for you. Let that light shine. You put it on a candlestick. He don't put it under a bushel. Let the world see what Jesus has done for you. I know this has been scattered, and I can't help it. But I believe he'll give us the words that may be needful. I want our children to start testifying. Not because I'm telling them to. I want them to do it because they love the Lord. Sister Teresa called me one time, and she's told it, so I feel like I can. I was over there panning over at them chicken houses, going around and around circles over and over. The phone rings and I stop and put the old tractor down on the idle, and it's Teresa Rowan. And she was talking to me about how she's always had feared God. And I said, "Teresa, when I first started preaching, that's the way I preached. I did. I was so afraid if I didn't preach that he'd take this from me, or take that from me, or take my wife, take my children." And I feared him more than anything. I feared him enough that I learned to read. I feared him enough that I didn't get sleep at night. But you know what happened during all that? Somewhere along the way, I quit preaching because I feared him, and I still fear him. I'm fixing to be done. I started preaching because I loved him.
Amen.
Testify for him because you love him. Fear him, but do it because you love him. And I believe that's what Paul was doing. He loved the Lord, and he loved those Jews that was his brothers. He would have called them brothers. They was Jews in that sense. He loved them. He wanted them to be saved. So instead of telling them all the scriptures from the beginning to the end, he just told them about what the Lord done for him on the road to Damascus when he had license to speak. You got license to speak. If the Lord's dealing, will you testify?
Amen.
Your friends need to hear it. This church needs to hear it. But you know who wants to hear it more than anybody? He wants to hear it. He hung there for you. All he's asking is for you to get up and say, "Thank you for saving my soul. And I guarantee you, him and the Father would rejoice over that." Let it be known what God's done for you. That's my message. Steve, you got us a song, buddy. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't have that light, you need that light. This altar's open. Come seek the Lord.